Hallelujah. And now Elsie is going to come forward. For those who may not know Elsie, she's got a wonderful singing ministry. She's blessed us over many years, and so she's going to bless us again now. Thank you, Elsie. She's going to sing, "I Serve a Risen Saviour."
And I would like you all to join in the chorus, as I'm sure you would love to. I serve a risen Saviour, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And on the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me, along life's narrow way. He lives.
God bless you, Elsie. God bless you. This morning we're going to look at the 28th chapter of Matthew in a short while, but Veronica's going to come and read from God's word for us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Thank you, Veronica.
The Resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen.
Thanks be to God. We're going to look at that passage in a little greater detail in a short while, but before we do that, we sing, "God sent his son." They called him Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we recognize, as always, that your word is spirit and it is truth. On this Resurrection Sunday, we pray, Lord, that you speak to us new truths regarding this everlasting story. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's an interesting point to note that two-thirds of the gospel is devoted to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. With meticulous care and detail, the writers have set on record these historical facts. And I think it's very important to remember when we read God's word that they are historical facts. What I'd like us to do this morning, all but briefly, is to try and recapture the details and the atmosphere of the picture that is portrayed for us in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Now, the women that had so lovingly watched the embalming of the body of Jesus by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had stayed. They'd stayed on until the call to worship. Then, with sad and weary hearts, they proceeded on their way homeward. The Sabbath had passed. It was evening, and there was the sound of the trumpet blast from the temple courts. Sunday had begun. When they reached their destination, the tomb was empty, and the stone was rolled away. We notice in verse 6 of our reading this morning, the angel said to the women, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Here we have, firstly, this morning, the miracle of the empty tomb, the miracle of the resurrection. As we noticed on Good Friday, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit, he literally died. Literally died. We have witnesses to prove it. Number one, we have the witness of God the Father. Matthew 27:51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Notice that it was torn from top to bottom, signifying a divine act. Now, I don't know if you appreciate, but the temple veil was as thick as two hands put together, but it was torn in two. It was a divine act. It was the witness of our Father God, a sign that Jesus had given up his spirit, Matthew 27:50. The work that he was given to complete was finished, accomplished, and heaven was satisfied. As I've said a number of times here at Underhill, the people around the cross saw Jesus' dead body, and they were saying to themselves, "Tragedy. What a tragedy." But my friends, brothers and sisters, God was looking from heaven to Jesus and he said, "Victory. Victory. Jesus is dead, but soon he will be alive." There was the witness of the Father, but also there was the witness of Jesus' enemies, of which there were many. His enemies had decided that if for some reason he should escape from the cross, Pilate should see to it that he was dead. So soldiers were sent to make sure Jesus died by piercing his side with a spear. Then there was the witness of Jesus' friends. We read earlier in Matthew's account, Matthew 27:59-60, When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb. From that moment on, none but loving hands touched the body of our Saviour. Joseph, Nicodemus, and the women standing by embalmed it according to the tradition of the Jews and laid it in a newly made tomb. A great, heavy, vast stone was rolled across the entrance, and it was sealed at the request of the chief priests. He literally died. We have witnesses: God the Father, his enemies, and his friends. Peter Marshall claims that Matthew has written the most ironic sentence in literature when he said, "So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard." You see, they took every single precaution against fraud. When God's hour struck, however, the miracle of the empty tomb took place. Dr. Campbell Morgan, wonderful, wonderful minister, preacher, pastor in London, Central Hall, said this was a resurrection, not a resuscitation. Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. The Apostle Paul declares from Romans 6:9b, death had no more dominion over him. And in Revelation 1:18, the risen Christ proclaims, "I am he that lives and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." I think that deserves a hallelujah. 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 That was the miracle of the empty tomb. But let's look at the messenger. Because people here at Underhill will know that I love angels. I read Billy Graham's wonderful book entitled Angels. It's a must read. I love reading about angels, God's messengers. Verses 2-4, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Here we have, in anyone's terms, a dramatic arrival, not your ordinary arrival, someone turning up at your front doorstep, or some you seeing someone in the street. This was a dramatic arrival. God was telling the world that his son was alive, and he didn't do it in a quiet, secret way. But notice the angel didn't say a word until verse 5. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. Just the witness, the dramatic arrival, said everything that it should say. The angel accomplished what it would have taken a whole team of men to do. He hurled back the stone in one movement, sat upon it as if to defy the entire world, by saying, "There you are. You sealed the grave and put a guard there. You said he would never come back to life again. But look, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty." The angel, you see, did not open the tomb to release the Saviour, but to reveal that the Saviour had already left. Jesus Christ was alive. He had conquered sin, death, and the grave. But finally this morning, my friends, what is God saying to us as individuals? What is the message of the empty tomb? We've seen the miracle. We notice that the angel came down as the messenger. But what is the message of the empty tomb? Well, Jesus was crucified. We read words of forgiveness. Christ had the victory. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. It's the word of salvation. But also we notice the Christ of sovereignty. because we notice, go quickly and tell his disciples, which was the word of witness and commission. You see, three times in this chapter, Galilee is mentioned. The angel said, go to Galilee, verse 7. Jesus met them and said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, verse 10. And eventually, the 11 disciples obeyed the risen Christ and converged on Galilee as Jesus had appointed to receive the Great Commission, the last portion, all but one, of Scripture in Matthew 28. That wonderful portion where Jesus, the risen Christ, commissioned his disciples. Verse 18, Jesus gave them power. He gave them power, as he gives us power to be witnesses for him. If you look at verse chapter 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's the power. You, I, the Christian church, have the power and authority of God. And Jesus said, go. That's the program. That's the mandate. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to us, not just in the Easter story, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but Jesus, God, is telling his church, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's not just enough having power. It's not just enough having a mandate, a message. The gospel has never changed. We need God's presence. And Jesus said in that great commission, the risen Christ, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have a message from the risen Christ. We have the power, the mandate, and the presence. But I want to finish by asking a question. And maybe you've asked this question to yourself many times in your Christian walk. What would have happened if there had been no resurrection? Have you ever asked that question or thought that question? Sister Sally touched on the cross earlier on. We could ask the question, what would have happened to our Christian faith if there was no cross? But the question I'm asking here is, what would have happened if Christ had not risen from the dead? I suggest three things as we close. Number one, all preaching would have been in vain. All preaching, teaching, Bible study would have been in vain. Here at Underhill, we've been blessed by some wonderful pastors and preachers over the years, faithfully unpacking God's word. But if there hadn't been a resurrection, all preaching would be in vain. Every sermon delivered would be worthless. All sermon preparation futile, all preaching a waste of energy. You people in the congregation, the number of hours you sat under God's word would have been in vain. I suggest also that if there was no resurrection, all faith would be in vain. Because faith saves the soul. Faith brings peace with God. Faith accepts the gift of grace, a gift that we don't deserve. Faith makes prayer powerful. Faith brings peace of mind. So if there was no cross, if there was no resurrection, all preaching would have been futile, would have been in vain. Faith would have been in vain. I want to suggest, thirdly, that if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, all hope of heaven will be gone. All hope of heaven will be gone. But finally, all believers wouldn't have the sense of joy that we have as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even through desperate times, even when your back's against the wall, even when you're going through the mill, maybe pain, suffering, debt, whatever it might be, we have a sense of joy in our hearts because Jesus is alive and Jesus is there with us every step of the way. I repeat those words again from Matthew 28. Lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. But Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Gospel preaching is powerful and it's true. We have the authoritative word of God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Stay close to the word. Stay close to the word. Faith in Christ brings forgiveness and eternal life. Believers go to heaven when they die. That's the truth. And Christians have reasons to rejoice. So on this Easter Sunday, as we close, let's rejoice. Let's be full of joy. Let's be full of hope. Even in desperate times, even in a society and a community and a world that is feeling like it's completely anti-Christ, anti-God, we have a message of hope. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, in the stillness of this moment, we give you thanks and praise. And we rejoice, Lord, to know that the fact that you are in the center of our lives. You're there, Lord, in good times and bad. You're our constant companion. You're our source of power and hope and peace and love and healing. And Father God, we face an uncertain future. But Lord, we know that you are with us every step of the way. Often, Lord, we look to heaven and we point to the clouds, knowing that you are there. But Lord, the truth is you're right beside us. You're at the center of our lives. And to Lord, to that fact, we give you praise. I pray for my friends, brothers and sisters here this morning. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their witness. And I pray, Lord, as we look to the future, may every day be Resurrection Day as we rejoice in your goodness to us. So, Lord, bless us, we pray, at the beginning of this new week. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And, Father God, give us opportunities to be Jesus Christ where you have placed us. Amen. 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 We close our act of worship this morning by singing another wonderful hymn, resurrection hymn of faith. Lo, in the grave he lay. Let's stand if you're able to.
Just before Ray closes with the blessing, I forgot to say in the notices that, of course, as we continue our celebrations of Easter, next Sunday is our Easter buffet lunch. I know most of you have seen Sally already to see if there's some food you can bring to share on the table. But if you still want to offer something, please let her know. And there are still some invitations on the edge of the bookcase. If you've taken one and to invite a friend, just let us know if you think you've got a guest coming, just to help with the numbers. But you're very welcome to invite friends, neighbours, and it'll just lead on from the morning service. So at 12 o'clock, we'll be sharing together and just sharing fellowship together. So that's next Sunday. So remember about food, or if you've got any questions, just come and ask me and Sally, and we'll celebrate together. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Try and make it if you can. It's always a wonderful time. A few selected verses as we close from Romans chapter 12. Love with all sincerity, hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another, and do not repay anyone evil for evil. And now the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.